Adventures in Research. The moon is a piece of green cheese. The sun is a golden chariot. The stars are holes in the ceiling of sky. No, decidedly not. But if not, of what are these things made? How did man arrive at a method of determining the composition of the sun and the stars? It all began, really, with a boy named Josef Fraunhofer and the broken mirror. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Today, it is the story of The Broken Mirror. It is the year 1799 in a small city in Bavaria. And down the cobblestone street, a small boy walks, carrying in a pack on his back his meager amount of worldly possessions. Finally, before a shabby, battered old house, he pauses, rubs his weary shoulder, and finally enters.
Yeah? Who is it?
It is I, Josef Fraunhofer.
Who?
Josef Fraunhofer.
And who is Josef Fraunhofer, may I ask?
I am, sir. I wondered if... That is...
If you're looking for food, go home. We have no time for imps begging. Go on, be off. Off with you.
I'm not begging, sir. I'm an orphan. I don't have a home.
Don't play on my sympathies. Off, I say. Go.
Please, sir. I'm not asking for charity. I would like to bind myself over to you as an apprentice.
Eh? Apprentice, eh? How much do you know about mirror making?
Nothing, sir. But I'm willing to learn and work. I'll work hard for my food and lodging, sir.
And just what made you choose my house?
Well, sir, I must find somewhere to work. My parents are dead and I...
Yeah, yeah. But why this place? You saw the sign, yeah? Mirror making appealed to you?
No, sir. I don't know anything about making mirrors. But the house here looked so old and sagged so badly, I thought you could do with some fixing. My father was a carpenter, and I'm sure...
See here, lad. My grandfather built this house, and it will be still standing long after you. Let the walls alone. Put your pack down. Come, I show you how we make mirrors. Everyone on their toes now. The great vessel is coming to the shop. And mind your manners. Here, friends, pick up this dust. The great vessel is coming. The greatest scientist of all Germany. And if he likes our work, he... Yeah? Who is it?
It is Bessel.
Ah, Herr Bessel. Yeah, Herr Bessel. Welcome to my humble shop.
I'm surprised it still stands. Look how the roof sags and the wall leans.
Herr Bessel, the outside is unimportant. It is what is inside. The finest mirrors... The most beautifully polished glass.
Yeah, that is why I am here. I am an astronomer.
Yeah, the greatest in all Germany, Herr Bessel.
I am searching for an instrument which will permit me to measure the distances of the stars. Now, I have drawn up here a few sketches of this heliometer.
A telescope, is it not?
A heliometer. I want to have such an instrument built. Is there anyone at your house who could aid me?
Ah, Herr Bessel, how fortunate you are. I have apprenticed to me an orphan boy named Josef Fraunhofer. He is young, but oh, he could build this. So clever, so talented.
Josef Fraunhofer. Only an apprentice? With all this talent, you say?
Not so loud, Herr Bessel, please. He might hear you. I shall call him from his work to discuss your telescope.
Heliometer!
Yes, the great vessel did find a prize in the rickety old house of the mirror maker. And with his delicate heliometer, Bessel eventually succeeded in measuring the distance of the fixed stars. And little Josef Fraunhofer continued to serve his apprenticeship in the battered, sagging shop. Until the day when his apprenticeship ended in a most amazing way. The roof fell in. The sagging supports had given way, and buried in the basement was young Josef Fraunhofer. Rescue parties finally reached him, and as the days passed, The story of the poor orphan boy reached the ears of the Prince of Bavaria himself.
Amazing. He really escaped.
Indeed, Your Highness. So I've been told. It was a miracle. The boy was safe, and you should have seen how happy the master was.
What a tragedy.
Tragedy? No, Your Highness. They found him safe and alive. And he was crying. Not from his hunger, nor thirst, nor from his injuries, but because the mirror he was polishing was broken.
That's what I mean. A tragedy. What chance has fate given this boy? Born poor, bereft of parents, apprenticed by his own hand to days and nights of work and toil.
Yeah? Oh, yes, it is most unfortunate.
And then the final ignominy. Almost killed in a cave-in. What has life given this lad but cuffings and bruises?
Oh, do not trouble yourself so, Prince. Your dinner will not set well.
Indeed, it will not. Not while I think of such a lad. Why must fate be so cruel?
Oh, fate, we cannot interfere with, Your Highness.
We can't? Oh, can we? I shall see what we can do to interfere with fate. Count, seek this boy out, this Josef Fraunhofer. Settle upon him enough money to buy his freedom and whatever else he needs to make him happy. We shall see who controls his destiny. Fate or the Prince of Bavaria.
Josef recovered from his bruises and used his gift well. He purchased not only his freedom from his master, but books and engravings. A few years later, he entered a large optical works and soon became famous for the instruments he made. His most important achievement was a great improvement in the manufacture of glass, which enabled far more precise results to be obtained with lenses, mirrors, and prisms made from it. And in his laboratory...
And there you have it, Carl. I do believe it is the finest prism I have ever fashioned.
Well, small wonder, Josef. It is made of the new glass. The glass that you invented.
Now, by using the sun's light, I should be able to obtain a good, clear spectrum.
Is that why you've been working on this prism?
Yes, Carl. You see, this piece of glass, the prism, it is fashioned at angles so that it bends any light that touches it. Not only bends that ray of light, but actually bends it twice, once on entering and once on leaving. Thus, the light is broken apart by the prism and does not look white at all. It shows all the spectral colors from violet to red.
And that's the spectrum, isn't it?
Yes. It was Sir Isaac Newton who discovered it. But in his time, the materials were very inferior. It is my hope that with this prism, fashioned from the finest glass ever, the spectrum I can see will be clear and beautiful.
Using sunlight on the prism, Josef Fraunhofer found something interesting indeed. Far more than just a clear and beautiful spectrum. Far more than Newton had seen. For the colored rays did not blend together into one continuous band of colors. No, instead they were broken, crossed at intervals by many dark lines.
What they can mean, I do not understand. No matter how often I view the sunlight through the prism, the dark lines are there, and always in the same place.
Then Josef Fraunhofer used the light from the planet Venus to make a spectrum. Again, the same dark lines. Then he used the light from certain fixed stars. Again, the same lines.
But these lines are grouped differently than the others. Perhaps I should make drawings of these spectra. Somehow they may help explain this strange phenomenon.
And so he did, making careful drawings of each spectrum, numbering and lettering the lines. But his discovery lay dormant for 45 years, until two German professors also grew curious as to the meaning of the dark lines and sought their cause. And at the University of Heidelberg...
You mean, Bunsen, that the light from the flame of sodium...
Precisely as I told you. The light from the sodium is not the same through the prism as the light from the sun. The light from the sodium, if passed through a prism, does not show all the colors given by the white light.
Instead, you see nothing but...
Yellow lines. Two narrow yellow lines, Kirchhoff. Hmm. And always in the same place. Now,
Look at this list of the other elements I had viewed. Mm-hmm. I have listed the element and what lines of color it gives through the prism. Each element always gives its own pattern when it is heated hot enough to emit light.
But suppose you mix the sodium element with other matter.
Always you can find the same lines, Kirchhoff. Always the same yellow lines of sodium. Now, my theory is that by this method, you can discover what elements are in any substance. The lines of an element will always be seen through the prism when that element is a luminous vapor.
Your experiment interests me, Bunsen. And I noticed a strange thing here. These colored lines of yours lie on the spectrum in exactly the same positions as the dark lines of Fraunhofer.
Yeah, so they do.
Bunsen, let us suppose we could obtain a very bright source of white light. It would give us a continuous spectrum with no dark bands, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Now, if we took our yellow flame of sodium and placed it between the light and the prism, between it, mind you, would we find on the prism your two yellow lines of sodium, or would we have two black lines in the same position?
I see. You mean two of the black lines of Fraunhofer's spectra.
Kirchhoff's experiment was made, and where Bunsen's yellow lines had appeared, the spectrum now showed two narrow black lines. Thus, the sodium vapor must have absorbed from the white light those particular wavelengths it is capable of emitting. Or, as Kirchhoff explained it,
it would seem that if white light falls on a glowing gas, the elements in that gas pick out and retain their own characteristic kind of light, but let all the rest pass on. No matter what burning element we place between the white light and the prism, the element picks its own kind of light out from the white light itself and leaves black lines on the spectrum.
For a fuller explanation of Josef Fraunhofer's mysterious black lines, let us make an experiment. The elements can be identified by their spectra only if they are gases. Let us see what sort of light is given out by hot solids and liquids. Suppose we heat this iron ball until it begins to glow. The color changes from a dull red, now brighter, and gradually this red color becomes more and more yellow, until finally our iron ball is white hot. If we view these rays, we see that red light begins to appear, then orange, yellow, and so on through the entire spectrum, until all the colors are there. Thus we see that the light from an intensely hot solid forms a continuous spectrum.
Thus, we see why Fraunhofer's prism, when viewing sunlight, showed the black lines. The center of the sun gives out white light because it is very hot and very dense. But around the outside of the sun, matter is in a gaseous state. So the white light came to Fraunhofer through an envelope of glowing vapor around the sun. The elements in this vapor absorb their particular kinds of light, which leave the narrow black lines on the prism. And so it was that these two men of science, Bunsen and Kirchhoff, at last explained the mystery evoked by the glassmaker of Bavaria and prompted Bunsen to say,
by use of Fraunhofer's carefully recorded spectra, we have been able to analyze of what chemical elements the sun is composed. And strangely enough, it seems to be composed of exactly the same elements of which our own Earth is made.
So, from the enthusiasm and interest of the poor orphan boy of Bavaria, from the collapse of a sagging house, a proud prince decided to match wits with the fate and thus aided in an adventure in research, the discovery of the composition of the sun 93 million miles away. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Join us again next week for another transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.